This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Friday in the Umpqua Valley, as we cover a lot of different topics and taking a look at Congress right now in recess. 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle joining us. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me, Kyle.
So how is this August recess, as they call it, which I know really doesn't mean recess in a lot of ways. How is it going for you?
Well, it's good. We've been able to, I will say I took a week with my family. 1 week a year is what we take. But other than that, and even during that week, I keep in contact with my staff and with things that are going on the ground. You know, with the fires, we're keeping an eye on that. We've had some fires that have come pretty close to, you know, certainly Douglas County has had their share. It's nowhere near as bad as Eastern Oregon, so we're keeping a focus on that. And then also just working to get out to every single part of the district to talk to people about what their needs are, and so that I can bring, you know, their thoughts, their needs back to Congress when we go back in the first week in September.
So what kind of things are you hearing from people?
You know, that they're really concerned about how much things cost and how frustrated they are that we're spending money. We're spending money on yet another war that there doesn't seem to be a way to get out of. I mean, for a lot of conservatives that I talk to, they voted for Donald Trump to bring down costs, and because he said that he wasn't going to take us into another endless war in the Middle East. And we're blowing up the deficit while spending money on another war in the Middle East. And, you know, one of the things that's near and dear to my heart and one of our key projects is the Roseburg Veterans Home. And the fact is, in order to balance the budget, we've got the Republican majority have put forward a budget that basically would cut $104 million to the Veterans State Home Grant Program that already is underfunded. So here we are spending, you know, what'll be trillions of dollars in another war in the Middle East, creating veterans, and then not taking veterans care of veterans when they come home after they've put their lives on the line to protect and serve our country. I think that is disgusting. I think that is a failure of duty. And so I am working, and also working with Cliff Bentz in a bipartisan way and with our two senators, to make sure that this project stays highlighted and that we're taking care of our veterans and that we work to get out of the Middle East and spend our dollars here. The fact is, people are concerned about costs. People are concerned about jobs. People are concerned about the war, and people are concerned about, you know, how are they going to get ahead? How can they afford a home? How can they afford food? It's really stressful.
For the Veterans Home, have you heard anything recently on where we might be at, or any changes at all?
You know, we were able to get the Veterans Home basically listed from a tier three to a tier one, so it got into the top tier. What the plan has been for the Veterans State Home Program is to spend the money there just on rehabilitation of current homes. Cliff Bentz and I, certainly our senators, Merkley and Wyden, but on the House side, Cliff Bentz and I have really made a push to say that there needs to be money put in to build new homes in places like Roseburg, where there aren't other places for people to go very closely. You know, it's not like we're in a major urban area. So we have every single person that we have talked to within the administration, within the Appropriations Committee, understands the need, is supportive. It's just a matter of getting this prioritized and getting it done. And I think it's a failure of duty for us not to take care of our veterans, but you know, we're kind of where we've been in this holding pattern. If we can get money to build new homes or get a reprioritization of the current money and not cut it anymore, then Roseburg will be top of the list.
Now, of course, it's the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs wanting to put a home on the federal VA campus, so you get kind of the whole federal state mix there. The state of Oregon legislature contributing, or allocating rather, $35 million towards that project. Now, I haven't got this from the state VA, but I got what they have been apparently sending out to veterans about a meeting that's actually next week here in Roseburg regarding that topic. What have you heard about that?
Well, so on the 27th, there will be a VA roundtable with our state Veterans Affairs executive director, and in Roseburg, there's going to be basically resources available for veterans. So veterans can come and see what's available. We'll have my staff there to make sure that if people are having trouble with their VA benefits, if they need any help from the federal level, we'll be able to take their casework at that time.
All right. Congresswoman Val Hoyle with us. A number of topics to hit on, and wanted to see, because it's been a big issue this week, your reaction to the Forest Service kind of moving forward a bit, taking public comment, considering the elimination of the roadless rule. What's your perspective?
So I think that we have had a back and forth with the roadless rule, depending on who is in, who's in charge, Democrats, Republicans. And I believe that there are roadless areas that need to be protected. We've lived through the timber wars where the debate was reduced to a choice between no harvest or no restrictions. And I think that the administration needs to open up and extend their public comment period because people need to be heard. I also personally think that Oregon should determine our roadless areas and not depend on the federal government. A couple of other states have done this, Colorado, Idaho, and, you know, we're talking about 2 million acres in Oregon and a map that was put together in 2001. I think as a state, we should move forward and not be at the whim of changing administrations and really be able to address the fact that, you know, there may be more areas that need to be protected, and the fire danger that we have, the fact that things are hotter and drier. Like, we should be taking care of our own destiny. And the federal government, of course, has to be involved because these are federal lands. And we should have a coherent policy that, again, isn't flipped every time we change presidents.
Do you feel like there would be some pushback to the idea of letting the state determine what the roadless areas would be for Oregon?
Yes, anything with forest policy, you're always going to have pushback. And I think there are some environmental groups I've talked to that have great concern about touching anything on the roadless rule. But at this point, I do think we need to take this decision into our own hands. I think that we have to change our approach to forest policy, where we're not fighting the same timber wars fights the ground is changing, the climate is changing, the fires are more extreme. There's an effort at the federal level among, you know, some people, some Republicans, to sell off our public lands. And I don't believe we should sell off our public lands. And I don't want anyone to say, well, you're not managing your public land, so we need to sell them off. I really think that we need to bring this home and have an Oregon, you know, just have a solution in the Oregon way.
Do you feel like the forests need to be more actively managed and not so much not managed?
So, you know, one of the issues that happened with DOGE was that we had a number of people within the BLM, within the Forest Service, and quite frankly, within our wildland firefighting capabilities and staff cut. So, you know, while we're saying we want our forests more managed, we literally fired the people that have the expertise to do that. So first of all, I think we should fully fund the positions to be able to manage our forests. And yes, we need to have a different approach. I certainly have been leaning on working with a number of our local tribes on tribal co-management of some of our public lands to make up for the fact that we don't have the staffing that we need or used to. I was talking to some wildland firefighters, and they said that the Forest Service is saying that they're fully staffed, and they're putting out a number that includes people who are delivering food, who are doing administrative work, and acting as if those are frontline wildland firefighters. That's just wrong. So we need some transparency. I've also just sent a letter because we had the undersecretary at the Forest Service when there was a fire in, the Camp Cabin Creek fire in Idaho. Undersecretary Michael Boren personally requested additional aircraft for a small fire near his ranch near the Sawtooth National Forest. While other catastrophic wildfires were burning across the country, we have administrative officials that are taking those resources specifically to protect their own homes. That's just wrong. I think that, you know, wildland firefighting should not be a partisan issue. Forest management, we need to approach it differently where we have everyone at the table, and we also need the staff to do the work.
Now, Washington Post had the story on that situation. What do you do when that happens? I mean, obviously people know that calling in favors is a bipartisan thing, but obviously resources in this situation, where do you take that issue?
Look, you know, this person, this undersecretary, asked that resources be brought out to an area where, you know, it's not like it's downtown Roseburg or Eugene or Corvallis or Lincoln City or places where there was danger to, you know, lives and homes. This was specifically for him. And I think when you have people that are personally benefiting like that, that's wrong. That's an abuse of their position. We should be thinking about the highest and best use of our resources, especially in wildfire, right? I just can't see. I've written a letter and have had a number of my colleagues sign on to ask for a response as to what happened and what they're going to do about it to prevent that from happening in the future. We've lost almost 3 million acres so far, and we still are going to have to go through till September for wildfire season. So, you know, we're going to need a lot of resources. And then afterwards, we have to do whatever we can to make sure that we are prepared and that we don't have the same level of fire that we have this year, because it's going to be hot and dry next year, too.
What's the schedule for the August recess? I would presume Congress isn't back till after Labor Day. Is that right?
Right. It will be back the first week in September after Labor Day.
So anything now at that point, though, you've got.
Well, actually, it's the week before Labor Day. Sorry. Okay. A week before Labor Day. Then we come home for Labor Day and then we go back.
And then you've got pretty limited time before you are running right up against the election cycle, right? Isn't there a limited number of work days?
That's true.
So will much get done in that period of time, do you think?
Probably not. No, the House under Mike Johnson has been one of the least effective Congresses, you know, in the history of our country, just in terms of bills passed, things that are done. Mike Johnson, John Thune, at the request of Donald Trump, have decided that the way that they're going to do budgets is not to work with Democrats, work in a bipartisan way, work to get things done, that they want to pass things just on a partisan basis. That's just not healthy for democracy. And what we've done is blown up the national debt, you know, by over $4 trillion. And that's going up every day while Americans are having to spend more. Meanwhile, you've got a president saying that affordability is a big yawn, that housing affordability is a big yawn. I mean, it's just like they're out of touch with the American people. And what we need is for people that were elected to Congress, regardless of party, to put their differences aside and actually show up and go to work. And that's what I'm going to be focused on.
As you look ahead to the fall in terms of the campaign side of things, how do you feel like things are going there?
I feel very comfortable with where we're at. I'm someone that shows up and does the work, and I don't get pulled into a lot of drama, but all accurate polling has shown me very far ahead. And I'm just going to focus on continuing to do the work, continuing to earn the support from people in all parts of the district, and, you know, make sure that my office is known for doing exceptional constituent work and responding to constituents regardless of where they are in the county. But in terms of my election chances, I'm feeling quite confident.
You know, you've talked about that constituent work before. Is that kind of one, when people think about members of Congress and what congressional offices do, I don't think they always think about that until something pops up in their own lives where they're trying to figure out where to get help. What kinds of things does your staff work on in that regard?
So I'm really glad you asked that, because a lot of times when you're stuck in a situation, you don't know who to call. And our office can help. We had a woman who wasn't getting her Social Security benefits after her husband died. And this happens frequently, where she couldn't get through to Social Security and really needed the money just to live. And we were able to get that money for her. We've had people who have had the IRS owe them money and haven't been able to get that back. You know, with years and years of them calling, we're able to get through and get that back. People who are dealing with immigration issues, whether, you know, that's ICE, they know someone who has been picked up, or they're having issues with their citizenship, or someone that wants to travel and needs a passport expedited. As I said, Social Security, student loans, there have been a lot of issues with student loans as the administration is moving oversight of student loans to a different agency, and people aren't sure what to do because they're not getting information. They can call our office. Literally any federal agency, certainly veterans benefits, we work on that all the time. We were able to get medals of honor that were owed to a couple of veterans, and we were able to make that happen. And that was that was really meaningful. So fundamentally, if you're having an issue with a federal agency and you need help getting through, or you're not getting the results that you think you should, contact our office and we'll do everything we can to help you. We even got an award for our constituent work as, you know, one of the top in Congress. And I was, out of everything, I was more proud of that than anything else that we've done.
Talk about, you mentioned it a bit early on, but talk a little bit more about where do we go with the Iran situation moving forward?
You know, we shouldn't have gotten in the first place. Again, Donald Trump ran on saying we would not be going into another endless war in the Middle East. I believe that he got information that this was going to be easy. They had just gone into Venezuela, taken that over, and that somehow Iran would be the same. My understanding is that there was false information put forward by Benjamin Netanyahu and his leadership from Israel. And Donald Trump thought that we would go in, it would be quick, and we could get out. We're not going to win this war. There's no winning this war. And right now, we're in a position where we weren't paying to send our ships through the Strait of Hormuz. Now we are, if we can get them through at all. American lives have been lost. We've got, like, the people in the military on the USS Abraham Lincoln who have been out over 270 days because Iran bombs the place where they would send for supplies. So these poor men and women have been stuck out there so long that, you know, you have people attempting to jump off the ship. That is not how we should be treating our active duty military. The fact is, we just need to get out of Iran. And unfortunately, this puts Iran in a stronger position. We've utilized so many of our weapons stores. It puts us in a position where we're going to have difficulty protecting the United States and Americans. So we need to get out. We need to cut our losses. We need to make sure that we're not starting wars or fighting wars on other people's behalf and putting Americans in danger while we're increasing costs. It's just, you know, fundamentally, we need to end it.
And we're out of time for now. Fourth District Congresswoman Val Hoyle, thanks for being on today.
All right. Take care and have a wonderful day.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. It's presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.